Good morning, Hope Church family. Hope everyone is doing okay. I hope everyone is staying on this side of sanity during this pandemic. I am praying for each and every one of you, hoping that we can meet shortly and congregate and communicate and worship and praise the Lord like we used to. Don't forget to pray for me. I'll pray for you. And we're all going to pray that we can come out of this pandemic with our sanity and at least 10 pounds lighter. Have a blessed day.
Hey, y'all. I'm Caitlin. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to everybody who wrote the youth group letters. We really appreciate it. Stay safe, stay well, and happy holidays.
Good morning, Hope members. Wish you a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Anita.
Hey, Hope. This is Gracie and Mildred. Hope you're all having a wonderful day. We miss you all.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. From wherever you are at this day, we give thanks for your presence with us. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning. First, a reminder that our Zoom Bible study will be happening this Tuesday, concluding our Gospel of Mark, and then we will be beginning an Advent study via Zoom starting the following week. And if you got the email, there was a survey in there for what night of the week works best, and I'm going to look through those tomorrow and see what night works. So if you haven't done that yet and you want to be able to participate and put in your input, please do so shortly. Also, a reminder that Meals on Wednesdays continues. We are online only until further notice due to the nature of COVID and its case count here in Ohio and around the country. Also, we need help to decorate for Advent. So if you could make an ornament or have an ornament you would like us to hang on our tree when we put it up during the week, please drop that off this week. Make sure you put your name on it so we know whose it is. And we need things to help theme our altar for Advent. So please bring things that symbolize hope, peace, joy, and love, and bring those and drop them off here. Again, write your name on it, and then what it symbolizes to you, hope, peace, joy, or love. Finally, the last two things, a reminder that today we are doing drive-through communion from noon until 1:30 here, and also we are picking up Advent take-home kits here from noon to 1:30. So we have a whole bunch of kits put together. They have build-your-own Advent wreaths in them, some devotional materials, and other odds and ends, along with a letter explaining all of that. So please swing by and grab one. If you want to get an Advent kit but you don't want to do communion, that's fine. Just drive through and get an Advent kit. If you want communion but you don't want an Advent kit, that's fine too. Come for communion and say no thanks on the kit. If you want both, you can do both. If you want none but you just want to drive through the parking lot and wave at me as you roll by, I guess that's all right too. So please swing by between 12 and 1:30 today, or you can get a take-home Advent kit from 9:30 till 10:30 on Wednesday over at the Mission Center at Hathaway. Now, let us take a deep breath and calm our hearts, our minds, and our souls as we listen to our prelude and prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We come, for God gathers us here with that community called faith, where the hungry are served first, where the thirsty drink life's water. We come, for God welcomes us here into that home called grace, where the naked are clothed in robes of hope, where the stranger is embraced as the long-lost prodigal. We come, for God reunites us here, sisters and brothers in that family called love, where the imprisoned model justice, where the sick are cradled in God's peace. Join me in our opening hymns, and we'll start with Come Ye Thankful People Come.
Song.
Now, as we come to our time of prayer, please join with me in our unison prayer. God of strange reversals and healing mysteries, we thank you for giving us a divine King who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Enable us, when we are confronted by the vulnerability and suffering of others, to make those choices that will keep us in tune with your generous love, and thereby create small colonies of heaven where you are truly worshiped and glorified for your name's sake. Amen. Let us continue in attitude of prayer as we silent and musically reflect. We gather this day, Lord, from wherever we are. And we know that you bind us and hold us together despite the distance that holds us apart. We are stronger when we abide in you and you abide in us, O Lord. And yet the world and these days in which we find ourselves are tiring, lengthy, disheartening, and threaten to tear us apart. But if we let you reign in our hearts, we know that we can be different. We can overcome. We can maintain. We can persevere. We know there are many who are in need in many different ways. And right now we lift them up in prayer, and we pray for Jane Perina, Lee Flagg, Sybil Plummer, Sunita Bivens, all those in our church family who are homebound, all those whom we love, for whom going out is more difficult than ever. We pray for those who struggle with the coronavirus, those who treat those who struggle, those we've lost along the way, the candles still burning for them on the altar, their numbers growing. We pray for safety and common sense during these holiday times, that we would be those who help keep others safe through our actions. Lord, we turn to you and ask that the wisdom that you have already granted us would be able to be heard by us, that you would open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive, and open our eyes to see in new ways who you would have us be. And in these days, as the world grows darker As the days grow shorter and things get colder, we may feel that words begin to fail us and that prayer becomes harder to engage in. And if we feel that way, we must remember that we were given words and taught words so that if all other words would fail us, we still would have these to offer in prayer. So would you join me now in that prayer as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen. No scene change. Children's message. Hey, I didn't have to move very far. That was convenient. Well, hey, kids. Hey, everybody. I don't have anything to show you today except myself. And that's because our scripture today talks about how we are called to live and who we are called to be. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, you know, you're going to ask, like, when did we see you, Jesus, and not give you a helping hand? When did we not feed you when you were hungry? And Jesus says to them, if you didn't do it to somebody on the street, somebody you met, you didn't do it to me. And what he's trying to teach them is about how to live. So the problem is most of my examples are based on times when we were doing things out on the playground and going out in the world in ways that we aren't doing quite as much now, unfortunately. And so the biggest example for how to live this scripture and the biggest thing to show you is yourself. So I want you, if you're at wherever you are at home, I want you to take your hands, I want you to stick them out like this, shake them around like this, and then look at them and realize that these are capable of great things. We can use our hands, and we can use our feet, and we can use our heads, and we can use our heart, and we can use our whole self to do amazing things. And then Pastor remembers it's better if I don't lean away from the microphone. But we can use our whole self to do amazing things and to do great things wherever we go to help people as we meet them. We, each of us, are Jesus for somebody, because they might be a person who's never heard about Jesus or church or God or any of those things, and we might be the first person that they meet who does and who carries that message to them. And so we become sort of like a letter sent through the mail, hopefully brightening their day and making it better and not worse. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, make people's days better, not worse. There's a little comic I like where there's a man who looks sad, and then there's a grandpa and his grandson, and he says to his grandson, I have a superpower. Do you want to see me use it? And the grandson says, sure, what is it? And the grandpa turns to the sad man and he says, I like your hat. It's really nice. And the man smiles, and the grandpa says, see, a superpower. I made that man's day better. That's something we can do. All of us can help make somebody else's day better. And that's a great way to go through the day. Would you join with me in prayer? God, thank you for the ability to help make somebody else's day better. And we pray that when we're not having a good day, there would be somebody in our midst who would help make our day better. That we would all help hold one another up. That we could grow closer to you and to each other. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named, not only now but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ, who fills everything in every way.
Our second lesson for today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. Now, when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things, go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and didn't do anything to help you?" Then he will answer, "I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous ones will go into eternal life. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Now, that scripture seems pretty self-explanatory. That's a pretty easy one to follow. Not quite as convoluted as some of the other teachings of Jesus. And honestly, it's kind of sad that he feels that he has to explain this one to us. He told us that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our being, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And here he has to reinforce that, but in much more blunt terms. I was hungry, thirsty, sick, in prison, naked, and you didn't help me. Or you did help me. But he has to be explicit in his examples. But the point that he's trying to make is that how we live reflects whether or not we actually follow Jesus. Do we truly love God and neighbor, or do we just pay them lip service? There was a group of people who engaged in a long journey. because they were looking for a better life. They were looking for a place where they could be safe and secure and also seek to follow God to the best of their abilities. And so, in order to do that, they felt that they needed to go on a journey. So they got on a boat and they sailed across the ocean. And eventually they landed in a land that not many had been to of their kind. And they got off their boat and they built a settlement. And they said, here we will celebrate. Here we will live and have the world that we would have. And yet they were not as prepared as they wished they could have been. Because when the winter came, they realized they did not have the crops they needed and the food they needed to be able to balance everything out. And then there was a group of people that came to their aid, who came and fed them and lifted them up and helped them and taught them. They saw them hungry and they helped feed them. They saw them cold and they helped them survive those conditions. And ultimately, they were repaid not with kindness and love, but with destruction and exile. And yet, in the scripture, Jesus doesn't say anything about, do this and all will be well for you. Now, we know that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us, but unfortunately, there are always those who will take but not give back. And now we're looking down the barrel of the season of Thanksgiving, which is personally my favorite holiday, because as a diabetic, I love a holiday where a lot of the food doesn't have carbs that I like to eat. Turkey, I just shovel that in. I'm not going to take any insulin for it. I'm like all on board for that. But always I remember the legacy of Thanksgiving, that it is not always a happy one for everybody, because we know that holidays are rough when we've lost someone, and we know that holidays are rough because not all of us had good ones growing up. And especially with Thanksgiving, we know that the heritage and lineage of it, while born out of an act of kindness and goodness, does not look like that long term. And so when I take this scripture and I reflect on Thanksgiving in concordance with it, I find myself struggling. I struggle with the world in which we live, where I do not see this scripture lived out. Because ultimately, living this out is the real trick, isn't it? This is the hard part, to actually be a doer and not just a sayer. We are called not to be ones who say great things or say the right things, but to be a people who say and do the right thing. We have to be doers if we want to take up and live out this mantle. We are called not to be people who pray lofty prayers and give lofty sermons and write lofty books, or not so lofty books. There's some awful books out there about Jesus. We are called to be a people of action and compassion, not inaction. And he's very explicit that it's not just about what we did for Jesus, but it's about what we do for everyone. Because as he tells us, we will be asked, you know, did you do this? And we'll say, well, I didn't see you, Jesus. I saw some other guy, and he was kind of a bum. And Jesus will be like, and that was me. And I feel like that's pretty accurate. I don't know that if Jesus came amongst us today, we would recognize him or welcome him or like him or celebrate or lift him up. Because he He teaches some things that are hard to hear and harder to live. And that's the real trick, isn't it? To live in a way that would honor and lift him up. We are called to live into a scripture that is, for once, straightforward and pretty easy to understand. Do good. One of the central tenets of Methodism. Do good. But if we do not do good, then we miss the point of all of it. Now, we can make amends for where we've erred in the past. We can make reparations for the damage that we've done. But we have to actually do it, not just talk about it. That may mean that you have to do or have some uncomfortable conversations. But isn't it better to make reparations and have those uncomfortable conversations and moments than to pretend like everything has always been fine and let that simmer underneath? Yet another topic we're not allowed to talk about in Thanksgiving. Now this year it may look different for many of us. We might be Zooming with loved ones. We might be cooking less food. But that doesn't mean that there aren't conversations we all know we'll avoid, regardless of format, at Thanksgiving. We don't talk about certain people anymore. We don't bring up certain topics anymore, because it's too hard to have those conversations. But that's the real trick, isn't it? Having hard conversations and asking ourselves, where did I see Jesus? Where did I miss Jesus? How did I ignore Jesus? And how can I make sure that the next step I take is one in the right direction of growth and love and not a step back or a step around uncomfortableness? This Thanksgiving, I ask myself, how can I be safe and smart? A question that I hope many of us are asking this year. And I wonder if Jesus were here among us teaching, like he teaches in our scripture, if he would add into this, you wore a mask that you could keep me safe, and you made smart choices about gathering, even though you wanted to, so that you could keep me safe. Because that is the real trick. Setting ourselves aside and putting others in front. Setting aside our own preference so that others may be thought of, regardless of what that may do to us later on. So this year, on this Thanksgiving, I hope you reflect on this scripture, and I hope you reflect on how you've lived it out in the past year. And I hope that you're honest in your reflection, that we together could take a step into next year, striving ever to do good and to be better, to live and follow more closely to Jesus. Amen. Now, if you would join us in our next hymn. Now, as I mentioned, today we'll be doing drive-through communion. And I want to remind us all of the fact that it is the Lord's table, open for any and everyone who feels called to come to it. We are called to grow and called to learn. But in order to do that, sometimes we need to invite and refresh ourselves and invite God into our lives yet again. Every Sunday is a mini Easter, so they say, because each and every one of us has the potential every day to spring anew. And when we engage in the sacrament of communion, we know that not only are we forgiven by God, but that everyone we know and love is forgiven by God. We come to the table knowing that God loves us, because the grace and mercy of the Lord is offered to us without price, asterisks, fine print, or catches hidden within. The Lord invites us to the table simply because he desires a closer relationship with us. So if this is the first time you've watched our service, if this would be your first time coming to the table, I invite you to do so today. Swing through our parking lot and receive forgiveness, mercy, and grace from the Lord. Refresh your spirit for the journey that we are already on and for all that lies ahead. Amen. Now, as we come to a time of offertory, I know that we cannot be here to place our gifts and offerings in the basket, to place them before God, except that no matter where we are, we can place our offerings before the Lord, for we follow and love Christ, who walked and still walks through the power of the Holy Spirit amongst us in the world and is with us wherever we are. And so we give to God not only of our monetary gifts, but we lift up and offer to God ourselves, that we would live into his teachings and desires to better ourselves each and every day. So let us engage in a moment of silent reflection, and then we will join in the doxology. Please join with us in the doxology. Would you please join with me in the unison offertory response prayer? Let us pray. O God, who desires good for all creatures, satisfy our hunger not just for food, but for freedom, truth, justice, and love. O risen Christ, you revealed yourself to us as one who gives to the poor and cares for all your people. We dedicate our lives and our offerings to your service. O Holy Spirit, bless these gifts and abide in our hearts, so that our gifts and our actions may live out our faith, glorify God, and bring forth a fruitful harvest for the kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we continue our journey, footstep in front of footstep, may we have the courage to work to right the wrongs of our past, And may we have the knowledge that God is with us as we engage in those difficult conversations, reflections, and journeys. May you know that God is with you always, this day, every day, and in those hard places, inviting us to join more fully and more closely with him. Amen. Let us join in our benediction response.